Welcome to Scary Basement, where me and my friend Mikey have to review horror movies or die. Worst of all, we're trapped in this basement wherein lurks every scary thing that has ever been, including a jack-o'-lantern with high-interest student loans, a demon with a bad haircut, the Cube from the movie Cube, and the Mothman, who I'm going to coffee with later and am very nervous about if he'll think I'm cool or not. I'm Roxy Polk.
And I'm Mikey McCollar. I guess my invitation to Mothman Coffee just got lost in the mail?
Yeah, that's what he told me. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Mikey. Maybe you should text him to ask what the heck happened. You have his number, right?
The Mothman gave you his phone number?
He
told me specifically he doesn't give out his phone number.
It's his public phone number? His office? I'm sorry, Mikey. I didn't know you wanted to be invited to Mothman Coffee. If I knew it meant this much to you, I would have asked. Although, I don't know, maybe I don't have the leeway to do that in a first-time hangout session. You know.
Roxy, here, I'm going to be a gracious soul and tell you that you go, you get yourself in with the Mothman, get popular. He throws sick parties every year, rents out a warehouse. Sometimes he gets a Ferris wheel. I think you should go. You go. I don't care. I don't even care.
Okay, thanks for being so nice about this, Mikey.
Yeah. I'll tell you one guy who's not super nice about not receiving invites to things. It's the man chainsawing through the wall right now, the pig bot!
Mikey and Roxy! Time for a movie! You guys gotta review a movie now!
Okay, pig bot, you got any specifics, any criteria for what movie we should watch?
It's been a long, long time since I've killed anybody. And I miss it. It's my favorite thing. Do you have any horror movies you've seen that are just full of dead people? A lot of dead people in the whole movie? That's what I want to talk about.
Well, if like ghosts and stuff count as dead people, how about Talk to Me from 2022?
Ghosts do count. That sounds good to me.
What about you, Mikey? Did you watch Talk to Me? I watched Talk to Me this week.
Yes, I have seen Talk to Me. Let's talk. Talk to Me.
All right.
And can I just say, this movie should have been called Talk to the Hand. We'll talk about why as we go. I hate this movie's title.
All right, let's talk about who is in the movie, who our cast of characters are, all of our friends who are going to be going through whatever horrible journey they're going through this week.
First of all, in the movie Talk to Me, we have Mia, our protagonist. She's still recovering from the loss of her mother, and she spends all of her time at her best friend forever, Jade's house. She's trying to do her best, but damn, if Mia isn't struggling.
And we've got Jade, who is Mia's BFF. She's dating Daniel, who is a guy, and she is more interested in her dating life than anything else, including her best friend. She's always on her phone texting this dude. She also has a little brother named Riley.
Let's talk about Riley, huh? Riley is Jade's little brother, but he's functionally Mia's brother, too. He's just a sweet, innocent little kid who wants to be cool like the older kids around him. Him and Mia have the best little friendship.
So cute.
It's one of those, did you have any of these, Roxy, where, like, you were friends with one person, but you were kind of better friends with their brother or sister, and you kind of meet them through that friend? That's kind of how I feel Mia and Riley are. I call them Miley.
Yeah.
She feels like his older sister way more than Jade does.
Truly, like, she's even the one who goes to pick him up, like, at the beginning of the movie when Jade was just so distracted texting on her phone that she didn't see that she had to go do that. Like, that's insane.
Here's a hot take for you, Roxy. I think people these days on their phone too much.
Some people, definitely Jade.
I think we gotta put these away from time to time. Yeah, it's me.
Let's see, we've got Daniel, who was dating Jade and once dated Mia for like a week or something. It's kind of unclear, but it seems like they had a thing back sometime.
And then we have Jade and Riley's mom. Her name is Sue. She works full time and isn't around as much as she'd like to be. Darn it all.
Yeah, she's also like very perceptive. She's like, you guys are going to throw a party, aren't you? You guys are going to sneak out, aren't you? After every night. Every time, she knows.
She's Babe Ruth calling her parenting shots. She's like, I'm going to leave. You guys are going to throw a risky business party? Just try and get home safe.
Just use condoms. Just don't do anything that will get you killed, please. Then we've got Haley, the kid who has the hand, which lets you speak to the dead. You know.
It's just like this plastic molded hand, but I think we find out later that it's a human hand wrapped in plaster molding.
Yeah, it's like plastic or ceramic or something, and they say, yeah, there it's the severed hand of a medium in there.
That's cool. Next up is Joss. He's Haley's friend, and that's all you need to know about him.
Truly. Then we've got Max, who is Mia's dad. He's doing his best, but is also struggling.
Guys, Max, Mia, they're going through it. Let's just be honest here. You lose a mom, you lose yourself. That was an episode of Boy Meets World.
Yeah, they're not talking to each other. You don't even see his face for most of the movie. Like, whenever he's in a scene, it's kind of like the Peanuts thing, where it's like his face is obscured and he's just sort of mumbling. Or at least Mia's not paying attention. All right, so now that we know our cast and crew of folks we're going to be hanging out with, how about we do the plot recap?
Perfect. The movie, Talk to Me, opens with a man searching for his brother at a big old house party. When he finally finds his brother, he's locked in a room and is suffering from something. He's talking to something, but no one but this guy can see this thing that he's talking to. When his brother tries to take him home, this guy, talking to nothing, stabs his own brother and then stabs himself and dies.
Sometime later, we see Mia, who is still unable to deal with the death of her mother. It's the second anniversary of her mom's death. Mia picks up her honorary little brother, Riley, and on their way home, they come across a kangaroo that has been hit by a car and is suffering on the road. It's making some horrible noises. It needs to be put out of its misery. But sadly, Mia is unable to kill it. She just can't take its life, even though it might be the best thing for it. And they drive away.
What a hero. When Mia gets to Jade's house and sees her best friend, all she wants to do is go to a party so she can forget her suffering. The two then sneak out with Riley in tow. They go to Haley and Joss's party, where the main event is a spooky, severed ceramic hand. It has writing all over it and was apparently the preserved hand of a spirit medium. But in truth, no one knows this hand's true origins.
In order to interact with the hand, the person must be strapped into a chair for their safety. You then light a candle and the person grasps the spooky hand and says, "I let you in," which allows a spirit to possess their body. If they are possessed for more than 90 seconds, they will enter a point of no return where the spirits will stay within you. So your connection must be cut off and the candle blown out before then. It's absolutely paramount. We got rules.
These rules are strict in this movie, and they do actually a really, really great job of explaining them and re-explaining them and making them concrete.
Truly.
Mia goes first, grabs the hand. She sees a horrifying rotted spirit across from her and is then possessed by said spirit. The spirit within Mia focuses on Riley and threatens to kill him. That spirit then refuses to let Mia go within the time limit, and it is slightly extended. She goes a little bit past 90 seconds before Haley and Joss are able to get Mia to let go of the hand. That's part of getting the spirit out of you. You let go of the hand, blow out the candle, you're free. The feeling of euphoria Mia got was overpowering when she was possessed by the spirit, and she loves the experience. All her energy jazz me up the rest of the party, and it goes real well for her.
Dare so later, Daniel hears about the party and how much fun everybody had, and now he wants to have a go at the hand. Mia and Jade convince Haley to come to Jade's house and host another party with the hand. Unfortunately for Daniel, he has an extremely embarrassing experience when a horny ghost spirit possesses him and makes him make out with a dog. But it's quickly forgotten as all the others have a go with the hand too and have a lot of fun getting high using this hand. Until Riley says he wants to have a try at it. He wants to be like all the cool older kids. However, this is where Jade draws the line. She won't allow him to do it, and she herself also has not done it either. But she especially doesn't want her little brother to do it. They all kind of are like, man, you're harshing our vibe. However, she gets angry when no one listens to her, and so she just leaves the room.
After a little prodding, Mia allows Riley, this sweet little innocent boy, to use the hand in Jade's absence. But Mia says he can only go for 60 seconds. Most people get 90, he can only get 60. However, when Riley takes the hand, things are much different. It's like Riley is possessed by Mia's dead mother. And this causes Mia to want to speak with the spirit. And so she pushes Riley to stay possessed longer than the time limit to a violent degree. Soon, Riley begins to hurt himself. He tries to kill himself by bashing his own head on the table and then attempting to carve out his own eyeball. Jade saves him just in time by using her own hand to cushion a blow that Riley would have Riley is trying to smash his head on the corner of the fireplace is what's going on. Jade puts her own hand in front of it, softens the blow. Riley survives, but he does get a little concussion. But he's out, but at least is no longer possessed by the spirit.
A little concussion along with being hospitalized in critical condition.
He's just a little concussion. He's just a little guy.
He's in a bad way, and their mom was called in off of her job to come and see what's going on. And she is pissed, as any responsible mother would be. Any mother who cares about their children, I guess. She blames Mia and Jade, but especially Mia, and says she does not want her near her family. She says, like, you must have given him something. It must be, like, drugs or something.
Not entirely wrong.
I mean, yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's true. She let him do something he should not have done. In the aftermath of Riley becoming injured, it's revealed that Mia actually stole the hand from Haley in the confusion of the party and the cops and the medics and everybody showing up. Now alone with the hand, Mia tries to contact her mother, and when she does, her mother tells her that her death was an accident. You know, she was scratching on the door trying to get out, that she just took an accidental overdose. It wasn't suicide at all. So not only was her death an accident, and she didn't leave her on purpose, but she implores her to help Riley, that she knows how to do it. Mia does this so much that she begins to see her mother when she isn't even using the hand. She's just been that corrupted or in tune with the spirits, and she's slowly starting to lose her grip on reality.
Riley's condition is so bad that every time he's conscious, he tries to kill himself. It's horrifying. Desperate to save Riley and to get some answers, Mia, Jade, Daniel, Haley, and Joss track down the brother from the opening scene. Remember, he got stabbed. His brother was all possessed, cut out his eye. This guy. This brother tells the group that normally a living body will repel the invading spirits and that the body gets stronger over time away from the hand. He says that his brother, the one who stabbed him and killed his own eyeball, his brother just couldn't handle what he saw, was obsessed with it right up until his death.
Fearing that Riley will never get better like that other guy's brother didn't, Mia thinks that maybe the reason why is that they didn't close the doorway by blowing out the candle and all that confusion of stuff that was going on. Who could think about blowing out a candle when a guy's trying to gouge his own eyes out, right? So she attempts to replicate the experience in the hospital so that they can blow out the candle correctly. While there, in the middle of it, she sees a little girl who contacts her. And instead of her asking to let the spirit in, the spirit says, I let you in. This is where Mia gets basically sent to hell? Limbo? Who knows? And she sees Riley being tortured, absolutely tortured by evil spirits.
This is the moment of the movie when it really clicked for me. When we've set up so clear, the rules are you grab the hand, you light the candle, you see the spirit, and you say, I let you in, and the spirit takes possession of you. And it's like, in this moment, the spirit can let you in? Like, my mind was fucking rocked. I was like, of course it works two ways. What a cool twist.
Right?
But also, I have a big problem with this scene, and I feel like I might have read an interview with somebody talking about this who is in charge of the movie. This scene where Riley is being tortured in hell, it's quick flashes. We don't really get to see it. Like, it doesn't sell the idea that we really need to save Riley, that he's in pain.
Yeah, so I actually do know a couple little tidbits, and this scene was originally, like, 2 minutes long, and so they cut it down for time and to make it, like, a little less gratuitous, but also a little more mysterious, I think.
Yeah, I don't love that choice. I must have read that same.
Yeah, I think they should have done it a bit longer. I agree.
It's fine.
But it's pretty fucked up what you do
see. It is fucked up. It's like the little kid, like from what I remember, it's the kid being like stretched by like a group of, it looks like a big red lit rave. Like they're having this giant party and the kid is being like grabbed and pulled.
He's kind of just like in the center. They're like biting him and just like clawing at him. And yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
They're all trying to get at him.
They could be torturing him the way they torture people in The Good Place by creating an entire scenario designed specifically to annoy him. Great show. Mia's dad, Max, intercepts Mia when she stops home to read her mom's suicide note. It turns out Mia's mom's death was intentional and she was suffering. Max wasn't sure if he should show Mia the note or not, but decided she has a right to know, and he apologizes for hiding it. However, Mia does not believe her father, as she believes she has been talking to her mom's spirit, who told her otherwise. The false spirit of Mia's mom then convinces Mia that she is being attacked, and Mia stabs her own father and runs away.
Now fully possessed by the spirits and losing her grip on reality to the point that she is literally stabbing people, Mia is easily tricked by the spirit to try and kill Riley in order to free him. Of course that frees him, right? Mm-hmm. Just kill him. That works. It tells her that what she's doing will actually help. Mia sneaks into the hospital and drives the unconscious Riley in a wheelchair down to the freeway. The spirit, pretending to be her mom, then tells her to just push him into traffic.
We then hear a thud and cars screeching just as Jade arrives. In a brief moment of clarity, it seems that Mia realized she couldn't kill Riley, even if that was what was best for him, just like she couldn't kill the kangaroo up at the beginning. Instead, Mia has thrown herself into traffic, realizing that she was too far gone and that she didn't want to hurt others.
Mia then gets up from the ground and is battered. Her hands are kind of fucked up and stuff. She's got bruises, cuts everywhere, but is still somehow able to walk. She then finds herself in a hospital, walking through it as no one seems to see her. Time distorts, and she sees Riley waking up with his family, fully recovered and going home now. She then sees her father walk away and leave in an elevator, going up. She then turns and sees a mirror, and notices that she has no reflection, just like in her nightmares that she talked about earlier.
This is such a brutal moment. Like, there's a scene early in this movie where Mia sits down with Jade and is just like, I've been having nightmares where I'm walking around and no one can see me and I don't exist. And when I look in the mirror, I'm not there. And it's just like, it's her articulating her worst fear. And then at the end, it just happens.
Yeah.
it just is her future. It's really, it's almost like a dark setup punchline. I sure hope this doesn't happen. And then exactly that happens. Unbelievable.
The way they edit it as well, like as it goes through the scene, like it's sort of dreamlike, but does feel grounded because we're focused on her, I guess, with her like walking and stuff and following through these locations and everything. And man, it's very scary, especially when it starts to dawn on you what is really happening.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's very unclear that she is necessarily dead, but she's like wandering around. And then it becomes clear that she's dead when she wanders into darkness. Mia has no idea where she is, where she's going to go. But then suddenly a candle lights in the distance. And as she gets closer, she sees a hand reaching out to her. Mia reaches out and takes the hand and finds herself being summoned to a party. Now on the other side of experience, the partygoers in another country speak another language, but they say, I let you in to Mia. And that is Talk to Me from 2022. That's the movie.
Oh my God, that's Talk to Me. That ending is such a gut punch, man.
Can we talk about this movie structurally for a minute? Because
yeah, sure.
This is one of the bleakest movies I've ever seen. It opens with Mia unable to put a poor suffering kangaroo out of its misery. And so I see that and I'm like, oh, her arc in this movie is going to learn to do the hard thing. Do the hard thing that nobody else can do. You know, put an innocent out of its suffering. And it does suggest that that's what she's going to have to do. And she almost does it, but then she does it. Like, Mia doesn't change in this movie. The character she is at the beginning is the same character. She doesn't really learn anything about her mother. She doesn't process anything. She doesn't get better. She kind of does a noble sacrifice, but it's not exactly like framed up as like, if she was selfish, like I could almost see Jade's arc being to sacrifice herself, but Mia just gets nothing. She just like articulates her worst fear and it happens. It's so tragic. It's so upsetting. And I think more horror movies should do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a more grounded look at grief. How like not everybody has like this cool character arc where they get over it, you know, and just have a happy ending. She kind of just did the best she could in the moment while she's still struggling and just realized she didn't want to hurt her friend and just made the best choice she could at the time. I think, in killing herself instead of him. So I don't know if it's kind of like showing the strength of her sort of holding on to herself at the end. And you can like kind of have some takeaway with that to be like, well, at least she didn't do the bad thing at the end. She didn't do the thing that would have like completely destroyed her. But now she's dead and now she's in limbo and she's trapped there forever.
And the worst thing that could have happened to her has happened to her.
Yeah, like, exactly. So there's like no solace. And that's why it's just like, It leaves you feeling just like so upset about how just like sometimes just shitty things happen to people completely outside of their control. And we're not all superheroes who can always, you know, get through everything. Sometimes you lose. And that's horrifying.
this is my understanding of, like, in Shakespeare times, which I don't know when it is, but it used to be that, like, Shakespeare would write comedies and tragedies. And it wasn't that comedies were funny, because all of his writing was kind of equally, like, peppered with double entendres, as much as it were. It was that comedies had happy endings and tragedies didn't. Romeo and Juliet, nobody really learns anything. I guess kind of the families do, but, like, it's just, yeah, a bunch of bad stuff happens to these two kids who are in love, and then it's the end. Like, this, I feel like movies have gotten away from that. Even when movies end with, like, the main character dying or the villain winning, like, there's some sort of, like, little spark of hope. There's some sort of little, just the fact that the character was able to change tells us that this is still, like, a positive forward moving segment. This movie's a tragedy. This is just, like, again, the fact that she doesn't even change. She doesn't even, like, she couldn't sacrifice somebody at the beginning, couldn't sacrifice somebody at the end. She's the same person. We talked so much about how Mia is struggling with her mom's death, and this movie's basically mythologically, she just never did. She just struggled with this, her mother's death, until she killed herself. Tough, but that happens. That is a realistic portrayal of certain facets of grief.
Yeah, and then, like, her dad survived being stabbed in the neck, because the whole thing that we didn't go into the specifics of it, because there's so much smaller things that we didn't need to go into, but, like, she tricks Jade into going to her house to get Jade out of the hospital room so she can get to Riley and then wheel him away to kill him. But in doing that, Jade sees her dad, sees Mia's dad, like, bleeding out, and is able to save him. At least we think so. So, like, when you see him going in that elevator and going up, I think you could take that one of two different ways. Either he survived and he's just leaving, or he survived and he's, like, going on to his next place, to heaven or whatever is beyond that.
We didn't see any character coming in and saving him, or see him getting up and going.
We saw Jade see him. He was still alive, and she called the hospital to save him. Okay. And then the fact that she is back at the hospital in order to try and save Riley from being thrown into traffic makes you think, like, oh, okay, so she wrapped up that. So the hospital has got the dad and taking him to be healed or saved.
I like that. I like that ambiguous note. Like, he could have made it. He could have survived just long enough to get to the hospital and then died there. And then, because I do like it metaphorically, because he doesn't really interact with anybody, the dad. He kind of just on his own gets in the elevator and heads on up.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So she just, like, sees him walking away. And it's when, like, time is being distorted, because Riley has been, like, healed up and he's better now and he's all packed up and they're going out suddenly. And then she turns and sees her dad. So, yeah, it could go either way. We don't know.
Yeah, I like that. Wow, what a tough one. The coolest thing this movie does is establish its rules very clearly and then twists its rules throughout.
Yeah, without, like, invalidating it.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, yeah. It heightens its rules. Very good. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, It Follows is another horror movie we've watched here that does a really good job of explaining its rules, but its rules are kind of just its rules. There's no, like, clever gamesmanship of the rules.
Yeah, it's just like a loose framing device, sort of, that they do whatever they want with, whether it makes sense in the moment or not.
Yeah, the fact that the living can be possessed by the dead, cool. Then the dead can be possessed by the living. And then the fact that we get to, it's I guess not really a twist on the rules, but that we get to see it from the dead person's perspective is awesome. It's just an awesome little moment. And it's just, like, it's such clever world building and storytelling and mythology. I was just, like, fucking, even though I was pretty scared, and the movie itself is really bleak, you know, an 11-year-old nearly beats himself to death, I was kind of just, like, fist pumping when I watched this movie. I was like, hell yeah.
It's, like, so well done. There's something about, like, the either the cinematography or the editing or, like, the acting. Like, these characters feel like real people in a way that I feel like we don't get enough of in horror, where, like, I actually care about these guys. They feel, like, grounded. They feel like real kids. They don't feel like just tropes, like, slotted in here to be in the body count. So, like, when horrible things happen to them, you know, it feels really bad. And, like, the things happening to them are not so outrageous that you find yourself questioning them. Like, they're believable. And especially, like, with how desperate Mia is to just connect with her mother, who she thinks she's connecting to, but it's the spirit taking on her form and distorting her and making her more and more entrenched in this thing, that it, like, corrupts her to the point where she doesn't need the hand to see spirits anymore. Yeah. And, like, that is wild. And like another thing in the rules where it's like, yeah, these rules are, they're hard and fast for what they know, but they also like don't know all of them because right. who, nobody knows where this hand came from. There's like rumors of what it was. There's apparently like two hands because it was a spirit medium who had two hands, like, you know, most humans do, that both of them got severed and turned into these objects. And then like at the end, when we see Mia, who is now on the other side of things, whether it's the same hand or the other hand, it's in a completely different place. It's not in Australia anymore. They're not speaking English. Mm-hmm. And they're at a party where everyone's dressed like, you know, very, very different. So like, we don't know how much time has happened in between that, how much time this hand took to get here or like what happened to it, which is also kind of neat. Just thinking that it's out there somewhere doing things.
Roxy, here's a question for you. What do you think would happen if you had two of these hands and you crossed your own hands and shook both of them at the same time?
Oh, that's a good question. Would the ghosts like fight to possess you so then they fight each other?
Oh, that could be, you could be possessed by two ghosts and do like a Harvey Dent Two-Face thing where you have to flip a coin to decide which ghost.
It may be, yeah. Control. Or like they cancel each other out so then you can actually just talk to them or something where that they can't possess you because one is not stronger than the other.
I was thinking you could use yourself as a conduit and the ghosts could flow through you, neither possessing you, but they end up in each other's section of limbo. So if one is closer to moving on and one is farther away, the farther away one gets the advantage.
Just by crossing your arms over, they get so confused. They wouldn't have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's like it's a physical place, and it's just like a ladder that you're climbing rungs on to get to heaven.
So an interesting little tidbit I know about this movie is that the directors are YouTubers. Did you know this, Mikey?
No.
Yeah, it's two brothers who have been doing YouTube for years.
Do they do like prank content or do they do like reaction channels?
No, luckily they do not. They do like
By Hungry Root?
I don't know what Hungry Root is, but maybe they were. I have not seen their complete body of work.
Sponsored? DraftKings, I'll bet. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Raid Shadow Legends probably sponsor everybody at this point. But yes, they've been doing stuff on YouTube for years. They're Australian, they're brothers. Mm-hmm. And they actually got an American company who gave them an offer to be like, oh, hey, we'll help you make your movie. Here's all this money. Catches, we get to do whatever we want with it. And they were like, no, thanks. Oh. And so they took it on themselves to produce it like in Australia. They wanted an Australian cast, all these people that they had picked out, which are very good, by the way. We haven't talked too much about the acting, but all of these actors are
throughout.
They're really good. And so they just decided to take a risk, you know, making it in Australia and then distributing it worldwide, which is, it's so weird that, like, they speak English, too. It's not like you even have to read subtitles, but so many, like, foreign films don't do well here in America because, I don't know, people are idiots or the people in charge of making decisions think everybody else is an idiot. It's why we get so many, like, American remakes of very good foreign movies, and then they just kind of half-ass it. And it's like, you could just literally take that same movie over here and just put subtitles on it. Or dub it. Or something.
I would love more movies to be dubbed. I think it's cool when movies are dubbed.
It can be, yeah. But anyway, so they decided to take a chance on it, and it went really well. It went so well that they're even doing a sequel now. They got greenlit for a sequel.
Hell yeah.
I have no idea what it's going to be, but based on this first movie, I'll trust them to see whatever the hell they have in store.
What do you think happens if you lick the hand?
Maybe that's what the sequel's about, Mikey.
You think if you put your tongue on the hand, the ghost possesses just your mouth? And then you can just walk around, but the ghost...
Or maybe you get to taste limbo.
Or maybe you get to taste limbo?
Yeah. All the flavors of limbo. Like
stale crackers.
And disappointment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool to see people like this succeed who have been like, you know, doing so much on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, a studio would have completely warped this and made it not like the cool thing it is. Like, I can't even imagine how distorted it would have been if a big studio would have been able to get their hands on it. So they were like, no, we want our creative control. It's our thing that we're doing.
I almost wonder if a studio would have forced a more conventional ending onto it.
They might have. They might have been like, this is too bleak or something. I would not be surprised. Or if... I don't know, a lot of the editing and just kind of probably one of the reasons why these scenes feel relatively like grounded and stuff is because these guys are coming from essentially like a, would you call YouTube a social media platform?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's comments. There's likes, dislikes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that counts. So they're coming from a platform that, like, understands that. Like, when you think about any other movie that has, you know, middle-aged people writing for teens about, like, mm-hmm. technology or anything, they just use buzzwords or memes from, like, 10 years ago or something because they don't understand what is, like, currently going on.
That happened.
Actually, I watched Papa Meat's channel because he did a interview with these guys, so I was able to glean some insights from them about this movie. And he brought up a good example about the recent Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Had, like, a scene where there are these teens partying in a bus, and, like, Leatherface shows up with a chainsaw, and they just all take up their phones and film him like they don't care about their own lives. And they're like, you're getting canceled. Which is like, what? Okay.
Listen, it could be argued that Leatherface's past deeds do warrant him losing his platform. We should not be making Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies anymore. I don't know if you know about the horrible things Leatherface has done in the past.
He's not a good guy, you know? It doesn't matter if his IQ, you know, kind of hinders him. He's still chopping people up with a chainsaw, which is not okay, no matter what intelligence
level. You make a great point. It is ableist to take away Leatherface's platform. You're right. Damn it, Roxy. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I know, right? How are you supposed to win? We're going to get canceled for merely even suggesting it, Mikey.
And that's fair. Roxy, do you have anything else to say about Talk to Me?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we did talk very briefly about the performances. I think the main character, she does such a good job being both, like, vulnerable and personable and creepy when she needs to be, that I'm just, like, I was very impressed with her. I'm looking forward to seeing whatever she does next. But, like, everybody did a very good job. Like I said, all these kids feel, like, very natural.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
They're real kids.
Yeah, and, like, even the mom, like, being a single mom who's been through the shit, who, like, knows they're gonna throw a party, but she's like, I have to go to work.
Uh-huh.
So just, like, just don't do anything that endangers yourself. Like, I know that you're gonna do a thing that I can't control when I'm not here.
Uh-huh.
Just try and make your best choices so you don't end up in a bad way, okay?
Before you do anything, ask yourself, is this a nice choice?
Yeah, is this a nice choice?
Is this nice choices?
Is this a nice choice for me? Probably not. Yeah. So, Mikey, do you have a question for me?
I do. Actually, this whole movie deals with the idea of what happens after you die, where you go, what happens, how it functions. But this movie's not a documentary. It's fiction.
Uh-huh. True.
I want to ask you, Roxy, what do you think happens when you die? What do you think really, really happens when you die? And as a follow-up, what are you most worried happens when you die?
I guess I'll do the scary answer first. Okay. So I'm most worried that nothing happens. That that's just it. Just your existence ends. There's nothing beyond this life. I'm not like a religious person in any way, shape, or form. I guess I'm more agnostic or atheist than anything else. But the most realistic thing seems to just be that, like, you die and that's it. That's nothing. You don't go on after that, which is terrifying. So that's worst case scenario. Best case scenario is, though, you know, you go to another place, you get to see your loved ones and your wildest imaginations. You can just have them happen or something, I guess, right? Going to be in a space that doesn't adhere to any sort of physics or whatever. You want to fly, Mikey? You can fly. That seems cool. That seems like a best case scenario.
I always struggle with the idea of the afterlife being whatever you want happens, because it feels like everything would lose its meaning very quickly. Again, why is The Good Place coming up so much in this episode? They play with this. The idea of heaven just being empty and people are just like, man, I hate this. I wish I wasn't here. Eventually, flying wouldn't be cool. Like, you would need some sort of economy in heaven, which sucks. What if
economy into this. No, it ruins everything. Money sucks.
Because that's what creates scarcity. Maybe just scarcity. Maybe it doesn't have to necessarily be money. But you need to, like, limit it so that flying still feels nice, so that having genie wishes still feels nice, so that seeing your grandfather still feels nice. I would say I have almost the exact opposite of yours. I have the same answers, but flipped. I hope it's nothing. I don't want to, listen, there's a lot going on. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to deal with anything else. I just, let's close the book. Let's get on with our days.
So no reincarnation for you?
I would be okay with reincarnation, but I don't want to remember anything.
Yeah.
What fair. Do I care?
You got to start fresh.
And then what do I fear happens? Mm-hmm. I am so worried about, like, the idea of hell. That's like religious trauma. You know, you go to Catholic mm-hmm. school as a kid, you can't get away from the idea of hell. I was taught that it's real. If you don't spend your days sucking God's dick in church, then you go to hell where they hurt you in ways that are specific to how you get hurt. That's too bad. I don't want that.
Yeah, no, it's truly bullshit. And the fact that it's like, hey, be a nice person or else leads to all sorts of things. You should just try and be a nice person.
Yeah. And it gets into this thing where, like, okay, God creates us to have impulses and urges, and then by following those impulses and urges, he tortures us. No, I'm starting to understand why every Final Fantasy guy goes to kill God. They yeah, should kill God.
It's true.
God is bad.
What has he ever done for me?
Thumbs down on God.
Nothing as far as I know.
All right. I'm officially against God.
Mikey's gonna fight God. All right, so down here in the scary basement, we give movies a rating, but we got a little twist. It's 1 out of 5 thumbs. We got our own 2 thumbs, and then we got a big box of hands for the remaining 3, should we need to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mikey, on a scale of 1 to 5 thumbs, what did you rate this movie?
This is a 4 thumbs up movie for me.
Heck yeah. It's pretty solid.
I think it's doing what it wants to do very, very well, and I do appreciate it. It would have been 5 if it was a little happier. We praised it for being bleak, and I do think that's a cool choice that we don't see enough, but I also don't like it. So it is since these are not objective rankings, since these are personal rankings, I give it a 4 because this mythology is so great. They wrung every drop of juice from the orange out of this concept, which is why I too am very excited to see what a sequel is, to see if there's more twists and turns they can find within the concept of a dead hand that lets you be possessed by spirits.
The title of it has got to be like Talk 2 with a number 2 me, right?
It's going to be.
It's
got
to be.
How many thumbs would you give this movie?
So for me, this was a 4.5, almost a 5 out of 5 movie for me. It was so good, so well done, so well executed. I cared about all the characters. The potentiality for the lore is like very intriguing. And again, like we said before, they showed just as much as they needed to. To the point where, like, yeah, I can't even imagine what a sequel is going to be. But, hey, I trust these guys. I want to see what they get up to in the sequel. But, yeah, goddamn, is it a shame that Mia just does not make it out. And the fact that it is a very real idea that just sometimes you don't make it out. Sometimes your grief does consume you. And all you can do is try mm-hmm. and make the best choice in the moment, whether that makes you die or not, I guess, in her case. But, yeah, truly a good movie. If you guys haven't seen it and you're listening to this episode, I highly recommend you go watch it for yourself. I think we do a good job talking about it, but nothing replaces the actual experience of it.
It is very scary, though. Some of the guys mm-hmm. are scary. Some of the spirits, they appear, they look scary.
Yeah, and like, man, the sudden unexpected violence when Riley is possessed,
yeah.
it was very well done where you like don't expect, it takes you by surprise, just like it takes all the characters by surprise. And oh boy, if you guys got problems with eye trauma, which I think most people do, it is very visceral.
Oh, it's good stuff.
All right, so how about we give everybody a palate cleanser, Mikey? So, you know, this movie was pretty scary. I'm sure Pigbot over there is pretty spooked by everything we were talking about. He wanted dead people. I don't think he wanted them like this, but who knows? So what movie, book, TV show, you know, amusement park, overall entertainment experience do you consider the opposite of the movie we just watched?
Roxy, I got for you the opposite of Talk to Me is a video game. A little game I like to call Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, okay. Like the first one?
The very first one.
Okay.
The reason I think this is the opposite is, first of all, every world ends with Donkey Kong getting a big banana and celebrating. So little happy
yeah.
endings sprinkled throughout the game.
Uh-huh.
But more to the point, Donkey Kong Country has a bizarre amount of mythology to it. There's a lot going on behind the scenes where, like, it appears as though Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong from the original Mario game, and then the Donkey Kong we play as in the Super Nintendo Donkey Kong Country is Donkey Kong Jr.
Oh, interesting.
But it turns out, in fact, Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong's grandpa, which means Donkey Kong's dad is missing.
Oh.
And nobody knows where he is.
Oh my God.
There is, in Super Mario RPG, a game that uses similar, like, 3D modeled graphics on the Super Nintendo, one of the enemies looks exactly like Donkey Kong, except he's in chains. So there's been fan speculation that maybe that's Donkey Kong's dad, and he lost in the Great Kong Wars. And I will plug, there's an episode of Video Games, a Comedy Show, where we go through the Kong Wars of Donkey Kong Country.
Oh my God.
But there's so much happening. There's Tiny Kong and Dixie Kong. They appear to be the same person. Why are they different?
Really?
Why are they separate? Are they brother and sister? What's happening here? What are the Kremlings doing? Why do they do what they do? There's a lot of mythology to Donkey Kong Country, and it's never gone over. It is all under the surface. It's the exact opposite of Talk to Me, which functions as a mythology primer. Donkey Kong Country, it's like, hey, just take your Donkey Kong, move him left to right, get to the end of the stage.
We believe in you. Think about what's underneath. Just don't think about it.
Buried so deep, it's only penetrated by loser podcasters.
Hey, don't Roxy, be so down on yourself, Mikey. What the heck?
No. If you had a cool parties or dope drugs to do, you wouldn't spend your time researching the Kong Wars. That just is what it is. What's your palate cleanser?
So my palate cleanser was actually my experience at tabling at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo this weekend.
Oh.
Because I met a lot of cool new people, had a lot of really good conversations, which was the complete opposite of these folks meeting ghosts and having horrible conversations and experiences. It was super cool. Got to talk to a lot of people while selling a chunk of my collection. So it was something that I was very knowledgeable about, games I've played or plan to play and never got around to. So I'm like, okay, it needs to go on to a new home.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being able to talk about video games with other people and stuff.
That's so great.
It was really nice. And I was getting to downsize stuff too, because we've talked about before, I'm a big collector of stuff, not to a hoarding degree, but to a degree where it's I don't need all of this. So It was nice to send stuff on to new homes while chatting with folks.
As opposed to Talk to Me, where the spirit finds a new home, but then immediately goes back after 90 seconds.
Yeah, or tries to stay and doesn't get the hint to leave you alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one tried to steal my soul. So pretty good overall, I'd say.
Yeah.
Experience.
That's great.
All right. It is now time for Haunted Plugs. You can find Scary Basement on Twitter, which is @scary_basement. You can find Scary Basement on Instagram, which is @scarybasementpod, all one word. You can also find us on YouTube. We got a YouTube channel, guys. Did you know this? It updates 3 days a week. Hell yeah. It is @youtube.com/scarybasementpodcast. Go check it out. Mikey, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me, Mikey McCollar, on Twitter @secretblimp, on Twitch @twitch.tv/secretblimp. And on Blue Sky @SecretBlimp, whatever the Blue Sky version of handles are. Secret Blimp, everywhere and everywhere. Where are you on the internet, Roxy?
Likewise, I am a singular name on everything, so I'm very easy to find. I am Red Mage Roxy on Twitter. I am Red Mage Roxy on Twitch. And I am Red Mage Roxy on Blue Sky. Come say hello.
Also, leave this podcast a 5-star review wherever you're listening. You know that helps us out.
And also, don't forget to tell your pals about this. You like spooky stuff, they like spooky stuff. Let's all like spooky stuff together. Come have a listen to our podcast.
Also, check out our Patreon. Scary Basement is part of the Super NPC Radio podcast group. Go to patreon.com/supernpcradio. Sign up to get bonus episodes from all your friends on the podcast. You can get episodes of Call Me By Your Game, co-op. You can get the Super NPC Games Club, which we should plug right now, is covering Resident Evil 2 Remake, a very scary game, my favorite video game of all time. It's a great games club. You're going to want to check it out. That's at patreon.com/supernpcradio.
I'm so glad we're playing Resident Evil 2 Remake, because that is also one of my favorite games of all time. It's so fucking good. Play it and
it's a joy.
Listen to us talk about it. Do it. And on that note, we will see you next week.
Yay!